Masechta Tainis, Daf Tesamer Aleph, Taisi Remaschil, Aser to Aser. The Gemara quotes a famous Rashi Rabbi Yochanan on the double language of Aser to Aser, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher. That by taking Miser, again the simple context is talking about agricultural Miser, by giving a tenth to the Levi, and presumably also referring to the other tenth that's taken in certain years and given to the poor, that will cause the person who takes the Miser not to lose money, but to make more money. Aser bishvil shetis asher. So Tosas quotes various drashos on this pasuk. Aser to aser. Hachi isa b'sifrei. This is what appears in the sifrei, the margin of the Od Zohar edition, points out that we don't have this in our version of the sifrei. Rather, it appears in the Medrash Tanchuma. Aser to aser eis kol tevuas zarecha hayotzei hasadeh shana shana. That's the entire pasuk from Parashas Re'eh, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Chav Bet. You should tithe the produce that your field produces, Hayotzei Asadesh, Shana Shana, every single year. So, the Medrash comments, I only know that the agricultural produce is obligated in Maaser, Ribis Ufrak Matya, V'chol Sha'ar Avachim in Nayin. How do you know that you also have to tithe interest, presumably referring to lending non-Jews, which is permissible, ribis, permissible interest, to frakmacha and other business earnings, and v'chol sha'aravachim and all kinds of other earnings, minayin. How do you know you have to take that as well? This is, of course, what is referred to as maser ksafim, maser from money that's earned, Talmud Lomar, es kol, where it says, aser ta aser, es kol to aserecha, all of the tuvo. Ha'amati l'meimer es tuvo secha. Tosus explicates the drasha that it's derived from the extra word kol, because it could have done without that. It could have just said, aser taser, es tuvas arecha, or es tuvasecha. It didn't have to say, es kol tuvas arecha, my kol. What is the extra word kol? Lerabos, ribis, ufrakmacha, v'chol, dover, shemar, viachbo. That includes all kinds of monetary gains as well. And this, of course, is the concept of Maaser Ksafim, which is a three-wise debate as to exactly how to take this medrash. Is this actually a real drash min haTorah? In which case, Maaser Ksafim would be min haTorah. Or is it an asmachta, but it indicates the rabbinic law that is formally required? Or is Maaser Ksafim a minhag, and that this pasuk is really just a remez to that minhag, but it's not even a formal rabbinic law? Indeed, although it's a debate among the poskim, but most poskim maintain the latter view, that it is only a minhag, and even though it is a very reputable minhag and a very ancient minhag that is highly recommended that one should take upon themselves, preferably bli neder, so in case shilas come up or the ability to continue keeping it, one should not be bound by it, but nonetheless everyone should really do so. Indeed, the post can keep in mind that the fact that it's only a minhag, that certain leniencies perhaps we can apply to this minhag, had it been a real din, whether midrabanan, and certainly had it been minatorah, we would not be able to apply, such as what the miser goes to. So now Tosus quotes seemingly an unrelated agadita about this pasuk having nothing to do with miser ksafim, which is the medrash that he started out with. After we finish this medrash, we'll quote from one of the achronim suggesting why Tosus felt it relevant to quote this particular medrash in this context. On a simple level, we're just quoting a collection of medrashim on this pasuk. V'achinam iika b'hagada. This also appears in the medrashim. In the margin, they point out that this appears in the Yalkut Shimoni and also in Medrash Tanchuma. Hayotzei asadeh shano shano. That which the field produces each year. Kalomar, meaning an additional layer of interpretation, is as follows. Emlo ta'aser sadcha kehogin. If you do not tithe your field properly, lo yilecha ela hayotze min hasadeh, you will only have that which you have to spend. Yotze, not from the language of produce, but from the language of like hotzaot, that which you have to spend from the field. Kolomar, meaning lo yaseh sadcha, your field will not make ela kefi masros shehayu kodem lechein, only in accordance with the masros that you should have taken beforehand. The hainu, meaning Hayotzi min asadeh kelomar, meaning masha yisa roga lahotzi lamaser min asadeh, as we said earlier, the expenditure from the field. So, according to that midrashic reading, you would read the pasuk as follows. Aser taser es kol tevuaserecha. Should tithe your produce. And an implicit clause. And if you don't, hayotzi asadeh shana shana, then your field will only produce that which you are supposed to spend on it in each year. And subsequent years, it will only produce that amount, meaning a tenth of what it originally produced. If, for example, it produced 1,000 bushels and you were supposed to give maser of 100 bushels, so the next year if you don't give those 100 bushels, the field will only produce 100 bushels. And then the Medrash records a fascinating story. There's a story with a certain person, Shai Asher, was wealthy. It produced, what seemingly is an enormous amount, 1,000 kor. Each kor is 30 saw. So it produced 30,000 saw. And he loyally followed halacha and took 100 kurin, even though it was an enormous amount. 100 times 30, so that was 3,000 kor. So that was 3,000 saw of maaser on his 30,000 saw of produce. Kuf kor in lamaser. Umafrish kol shana v'shana, and he separated that enormous amount every year following the halacha. V'chein also kol yamav, and that's what he did all of his days. Kishachal alamus, when he was on his deathbed, Karl of No, he called his son, V'amalo b'ni, he said to him, my son, Dai, should know, shesada zo, shani morish lecha, this field that I am bequeathing to you, osa b'chol shana v'shana elef kurin, it produces 1,000 kurin, again, 30,000 saw, quite a large amount. He's a hare, be careful, shetafrish kuf kurin, you should always separate each year 100 kurin from aser, kasher asisi, just like I did, umes osa ish, that person passed away, V'amar abein v'mkomo, and then the son stood in his stead, owning the field, of course, now. And indeed, the field produced 1,000 kor, just as it had done in the life of the father. And the son, at least the first year, indeed, loyally followed his father's wishes, which is, of course, the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah. And he separated 100 kor from the 1,000 kor that the field produced. But, the plot thickens. Shana Shnia, in the second year, Nistakel, the Ra Habain, Shahamaiser, Hayadavar Gotl. The son took a hard look at the facts and saw that the amount of maiser he was giving, 100 kor, was an enormous amount. Again, equivalent of 3,000 saw. But Omar, Shalo Yafrish Lashana Cheres, that he's not going to take that amount the next year. Some versions of the Medrash seem to indicate it didn't take as much, which I think on the margin in certain Gemaras they point out is another girsa here. The Medrash Tanchuma actually states that in successive years, instead of giving the full 100 kor for Meiser, so he chiseled away and took 10 kor less. Instead of giving 100, he gave 90. So as a result of his subtracting 10 kor from the Meiser, so the field produced 10 times less than that 10, meaning he deducted 10 kor and the field stopped producing 100 kor. Then the next year he took away another 10, and then the field stopped producing another 100 kor and kept going down from 1,000 to 900 to 800. Till in the 10th year, the field only produced 100 kor, which was the original amount for Meiser. Nismai tasade velo osa ki im mea kurin. So indeed, as a result and as a punishment for the fact that the son did not give the full amount of Meiser or didn't give the Meiser at all, to the field only produced 100 kurin, which exactly was the amount that he should have taken from Meiser. And instead of producing 1,000 kurin as it had done in the past, it now only produced 100 kor. It's dire love. So he was very pained by that, that now the field only produced a tenth of what it used to produce. Shamu Krovav, his relatives heard about this downturn of his economic fortune, Shekach Miet, Lo Hifrish Meiser, and it was as a result of the fact that he lessened the amount of Meiser or didn't give it at all. Or perhaps Shekach Miet means that the field produced less, Lo Hifrish Meiser, and the son had not separated Meiser, or at least not properly. Bo kula metzlo. They all came to him. Milubashim levonim usmechim. They were dressed in white clothing, festive clothing, and happy. Amalehem. So he said to his relatives, Kimduma li shatem smechim mekalkalasi. It appears to me that you are happy about my downfall. Is that appropriate for you to be happy that now that I've lost so much money? Amrulo. So they told him, and again here also the different versions. We'll read the version we have. We will be pained over you that you caused yourself all of this suffering. Of course, it doesn't seem to match the fact that they were wearing white clothes and happy. So perhaps we should read it as a bitmiyah. Should we be upset for you? You're the one who caused all this mess. On the margin, those who utter, they point out in the Ein Yaakov, the collection of Agaritas, in this Tosis, they have the word lo added, lo nitztar alecha, which presumably is to be read in a straightforward way rather than rhetorically, that we're not going to feel bad for you because you caused your own suffering. Why didn't you separate the ma'aser properly? Or Bore, take a look. Kimitchila kishabo asar liyadcha. When you originally got that field, Ayisa balabayis, you were the owner of the field. Vakadosh Baruch Hu Kohen, and he was like the Kohen. Shahaya ha'ma'aser chelko, that was his tenth, which was his share. Litein laniyim, to give to the poor. Either a reference directly to ma'aser ani, which is taken in the third and the sixth years, or perhaps a reference to ma'aser rishon, given to the Levi every year, who usually are also not rich. And now that you have not separated his share for him, so now the tables are turned. Hashem, so to speak, retook possession of the field. And now you are the Kohen. So he's, so to speak, giving you the Maaseh. The Bach changes the girsa slightly. The field doesn't produce now. That it doesn't produce what it used to produce. Elef Kurin, the thousand kur. So it's as if Hashem took possession of those Elef Kur and gave you Maaser. Hifish Lecha, and he separated for you, meaning that the field should now only produce Mea Kurin, 100 Kurin of that thousand. The version that appears in the Medrash Tanchuma makes it sound like that what they were telling him is that they are upset about what happened to him, and that the reason that they showed a happy face and were wearing Yom Tov clothing is that this person like became a Kohen. Not a Kodesh Baruch Hu was treating him as a Kohen. That since Hashem took possession, and he is now giving the Maaser, so to speak, to the owner of the field. So it seems to me that the Medrash's point is that the relatives were pretending to be happy that this person had graduated to become like a Kohen, or like a Levi, really, to receive the Maaser, and in so doing, they were engaging in festivity to make their point very powerfully that Yeshkoyach, you became a Kohen or a Levi. Ultimately, he should learn the lesson that he doesn't want to be this kind of Kohen or Levi, which basically is only getting a tenth. And he should go back to being a Yisrael and giving the Maaser to the original Levi and not, so to speak, having the tables turned of having to surrender the ownership, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and having him be the Kohen. Tosis now proceed to quote additional psukim verifying this concept. And that is parallel to what is written in Parshas Nosov, Ishes Kodeshov Lo Yihiyu, that a man concerning his holy separations, they should belong to him. On a pshat level, it means that he has the option of giving the Trumas and the Maestras to whatever Kohen and whatever Levi and whatever poor person he wants. But on the drash level, Kolomar, Kisheino Mafresh Kahogan, if he doesn't separate properly, Lo yielo ela kochim. He will only have the original percentage of what he was supposed to give away. Kolomar meaning hamaser, the original tithe. Ve'al ze amru chachamim. Concerning this, the sages stated hamakiv masrosav lusov ba shelo yielo ela echad mi'eser. Someone who withholds the maestros, so in the end he will only have 1 out of 10 of what he originally had. Kidachsiv, as is written, psukim in Yeshaya, v'zera chomer yaseh eifa. That if one doesn't follow the Dvar Hashem, so Zera Chomer, Chomer is a biblical word for Kur, which is 30 saw, Yasa Eifa, that will make an Eifa, which as Tosis will elaborate, is 3 saw, exactly a tenth. The Hainu HaMaser, the Eifa, Gimel Soin, the Eifa, which should have been the Maser of the Chomer, of a Chomer Yesh Lamed Soin, as we mentioned earlier, 30 saw in a Chomer, so Zera Chomer Yasa Eifa, that if you don't take the Maser, which should have been 3 saw of the 30 saw, namely the Chomer, so if you plant seeds that should have produced the Chomer 30 saw, it's only going to produce an Eifa, which is 3 saw, namely the same way that Tosas have been developing, that'll produce a tenth. V'chein k'siv, ki aseres, simde kerem, yasu, bat, achat. That 10, yes, rows of vineyards will only produce 1 measure. So putting it all together, quoting these various psukim, and the story that not giving Maaser leads to disaster of a tenth. Now Tosas quotes one other understanding of a drash on that pasuk of Hayotzei Hasadeh Shana Shana, of what the consequences of not taking Maaser are. V'Rav Nosson Ha'upnial, Ha'upnial, from some town I imagine, Pirish explains, Hayotzei Men Hasadeh Kelomar V'Imlav, once again reading it as a hidden clause, that aseret aseret kol tovasarecha, you better take the tithe. And if you don't, she'ena tamafrish, then you don't take the maestros, ha'isur yeh la'oso ha'yotze la'sada, then the tenth is going to have to be taken away from you in a different way to the one who goes out into the field. Hayotzea Sadeh. Who is that one who goes out into the field? The Hainu Esav HaRasha, Esav the Wicked, who is known, of course, as Yodei Tzayid Ish Sadeh. Kolomar, meaning Sheikhu of the Kachavim, that the non-Jews will take it. Of course, in the times that the Midrashim were written, they point out that this teaching of Rav Nosson also appears in the Al-Kachimoni and in the Tanchuma. So usually in that period, the overlords who would take taxes would be the Roman government, who were either literally descendants or conceptual descendants of Esav, and anything you're supposed to give to tzedakah and you don't will be taken away for taxes. This is reminiscent of the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, which records a very interesting story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he had a dream that his nephew would suffer a loss of 700 zuz that year. So without telling him about the dream, he quickly throughout the year caused him to have to give that amount to tzedakah. Didn't quite get to the amount of 700, but they got to 683, short 17 zuz. So right before Rosh Hashanah, the Roman government sent a bill that he owes 17 zuz in taxes. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told his nephew that he doesn't have to worry, the bill's not going to get any bigger, and he could stay calm. So the nephew said, how do you know? He said, well, they showed it to me in a dream that you had to lose 700 zuz. So I figured this way you can get a mitzvah out of it and give it to tzedakah instead. But we didn't get to have you give the full 700, so you still owed 17, and that was taken over by Rome, namely Esav. So the nephew asked him, how come you didn't tell me in advance? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered his nephew that I wanted you to give the tzedakah l'shmo, not just in order to avoid the loss. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has an interesting comment in this Tosis. He starts out talking about Ma'aser Kesafim, and then he moves on discussing other topics about the benefit of Maser. So on a simple level, since our Gemara discussed drushes about Aser to Aser, so first he elaborates on other drushes having to do with Aser to Aser, namely expanding into Ma'aser Kesafim. And then he elaborates on how taking Ma'aser makes you wealthy in different ways. Either gives you extra wealth or will preserve your wealth. Yaakov Emden suggests that maybe the first part of Tosis, in a certain sense, leads to Akasha. How did the Gemara know to darshan Aser to Aser that it makes you wealthy? Maybe the double language of Aser to Aser should be used, similar to what the Medrash darshans in terms of the word kol. That it's a double maser, Aser for tvua and to Aser for money. So how do you know that it makes you wealthy? So that's why Tosis quotes another Medrash that also derives from this pasuk, dealing with agricultural maser, the fact that it keeps you wealthy and preserves your assets. Masechta Tainis, Daf Tes Amud Beis. Tosis Divrei Maschil, Talmud Lomer Esav. The Gemara quoted the statement of Rish Lakish, that Minayin Lamata Rishul Yochid, that rain will sometimes fall for a private individual. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Zechariah, Shalom Hashem Matar Be'es Malkosh Hashem Ose Chazizim U'metar Geshem Yitein Lahem Le'ish Esav Basodeh. They could request of Hashem to give the rain, and Rish Lakish is medayik from the end of the pasuk, Yitain lahem leish, that even for one man, he can be zocha to rain. And not only that, but esev basada, even for one blade of grass in the field that needs rain, a person prays for it, so a person can be zocha to get rain for that. So Tosa's comment is follows. Talmud Lomer, Esav, Pirish, meaning, she'im lo yiyu tzrichem ela esev echad, that if the rain is only necessary for one blade of grass, Yered al oso esev, that will fall down on that blade of grass, while sha'ar kol asada lo yerdu, and on the rest of the field, they will not fall. This is, of course, consistent with the story the Gemara quotes concerning Rav Daniel Bar Katina, that when he had a garden, so he would always check it out and see which row needed rain and which row didn't, and he would ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should provide rain for that particular area, and it only fell in that area. Tosa, of course, is negating a possible alternate pshat, that if one blade of grass needs rain, then the rain perhaps will fall for the whole field. So Tosa points out that no, it could even be more miraculous that it will only fall in that area. Rashi seems to explain in a very similar manner. Tais di Maschil, Nehila, Mekame, Mitra. The Gemara quoted the statement of Rav Yehuda, that when there's Nehila, meaning a drizzle of rain before the rain, that indicates that a downpour is coming. First you have a drizzle, then you have a downpour. And if the drizzle occurs after a downpour, that indicates that the rain is about to stop. The Gemara gave various mishalim that a drizzle indicating that there will soon be a downpour is similar to sifting. Simnach mehulta. Mehulta meaning a sifter. that first comes the thin part of the flower and then the thick part of the flower. And when you have a drizzle after the rain, indicating that the rain is about to stop, so that's Simnach Charya De'izi, relevant to goats going to the bathroom. Tosis first comments on the Mahulta, and then in the next Tosis he comments on the Charya De'izi. So Tosis right. Pirish, Geshem Dak, that Nehila refers to a light rain. Simnach Mahulta, as the Gemara tells us. Pirish, meaning, Shemitchila Yotzei Apsoles, that first the unwanted part of the flower goes out of the sifter. And only then does the flour come out of the sifter. The solas, the good part of the flour. Pirish, meaning, that they didn't used to do the way we do nowadays. Tosis leaves it unclear as to what the difference is. We'll make perhaps an educated guess in a moment. The Bach has in the word Ella. Ella hayu koshin hachitin v'machteshes. They would first pound the wheat in a mortar and a pestle. Until all of the bran, meaning the whole wheat part of the wheat that surrounds the kernel very tightly, would come off the wheat. And of course, it wouldn't be efficient to start picking that out by hand, so that would be sifted out. And when they would sift it with a sifter, so the unwanted part, namely the bran that used to be on it and now was separated as a result of the pulverization of the mortar in the pestle, yotzei lechatchila. So that bran would come out first, a very thin bran, which was thin because it had been beaten off. And only after that would the flour come out. So in the nimshel of the rain, the drizzle is parallel to the subin, or the bran, which is very, very tiny, and the solus is parallel to the rain. So perhaps what Tosis means is that ha'idna, meaning nowadays in his time in France or Germany, they wouldn't bother pounding the wheat first. They would just grind it up as is with the bran on it, and then they would engage in sifting. And if that would be the case, so then the flour would come out first, and only then would the bran come out. Perhaps Tosis Dafka wanted to explain it this way is because it would be a greater parallel, because the heavy rain, of course, is the star of the show. That's what we really want. That's what irrigates the crops much more efficiently and effectively. And it's the flour that we really want. It's the drizzle that is also good, but it's not. It's the secondary part of the rain. So too, the psolet that comes out first, the bran, which would come out first in the times of the Gemara, when they would pound it first in the mortar and pestle, so that would be more directly parallel as opposed to what would happen nowadays, where first the flour would come out and then the psolet. Psolet would be last, which would be parallel to the heavy rain, and that wouldn't be a tight parallel. It's interesting that Rashi, probably sensitive to the same practice that Tosis were mentioning here, actually gives the opposite shot, that first the flour would come out, and only then would the bran come out. And apparently Rashi wasn't bothered by the fact that it's not a direct parallel, it's just a broad parallel of the fact that first the smaller sections come out and then the bigger sections come out. Tosdim maskel charya de'izi. As we mentioned earlier, when you have a downpour followed by a drizzle, it indicates that the downpour is about to stop, as Rabbi Yehuda tells us. So Tos explain, as does Rashi, Pirish re'i shel izim, the waste of the goat, shamit shebetchila re'i godel. And originally it is very big waste, uchshiposekes, and as it's about to stop, matrezes zevel dak, so the goat excretes a very thin kind of waste. There also, even though none of that is good, but in Tosis's parallel that I gave earlier, the main event, if you will, is evidenced by the rain. So here too, within the bathroom session of the goat, so the main event is the main waste, which of course keeps it healthy. The Gemara quotes a fascinating machlokus between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Yezer, which I think the commentaries debate as to whether it's meant to be taken literally or metaphorically. Rabbi Shua says that the main source of rain is from the heavens, from Mayim Leonim, from upper waters. And Rabbi Yezer indicates that it's from the evaporation of the oceans. So the Gemara quotes various psukim proving each side and various statements of Tanoim and Amoroim. So the Gemara quotes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan on the pasuk Mashke Harim Eli Yosav, famous pasuk in Baruch Hinafshi, that we say on Rosh Chodesh, that Hashem gives the mountains to drink from his upper attics, literally, well, upper stories. On that, Rabbi Yochanan comments from Rabbi Yochanan Eli Yosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the upper stories of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that it indicates that rain is coming from above, keman ki Rabbi Shua, that's like Rabbi Shua. And then the Gemara defends Rabbi Yez's view that since it evaporates from the waters down below and eventually goes into the clouds, it's also called Mele Yosef. The Tosh explains the initial Havamina. V'am Rabbi Yochanan Mele Yosef shel Kadosh Baruch Hu keman ki Rabbi Shua. Pirish, meaning ki Rabbi Shua, da'amar kol alam kulam imayim al yonam im shosim. Rabbi Shua says that the whole world drinks from the upper waters, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer, that it's from the Akionos, from the evaporation of the oceans. Iker Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Meme Akionos Ushosa, perhaps we should be Goris, Mi Meme Akionos Ushosa. The Iker Rabbi Eliezer, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Meme Akionos Ushosa, that it's the waters of the ocean that the world drinks. And therefore that wouldn't be consistent at first glance with his teaching Rabbi Yochanan of Mele Yosef, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could be that a careful reading of Rashi might indicate that Rashi had somewhat of a different shot, because Rashi seems to have had a girsa Mele Yosef shel Mala rather than a Mele Yosef shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a little unclear to me what Tos is adding. Wouldn't that be the simple pshat in the Gemara?